I want you to go ahead and open your Bible to Proverbs chapter 1. We're going to begin there. What we've been doing over the last couple of weeks, we're going to continue. We've been looking at the idea of the characteristics of a fool, especially from the book of Proverbs. There are five different Hebrew words for what our English word fool, and that's used in the book of Proverbs. And as we've been looking at characteristics, you know, I said it, I think, in the first lesson, but just as a reminder, when you look at a fool, you know, they don't look different than anyone else. You couldn't pick them out by looks, by their features. The way you see a fool is characterized by what they do. Watch the things that they practice. And that's when you'll begin to detect what a fool is. And I pray it's not within us. But if you find yourself with some of these characteristics, the opportunity to move away and not be a fool is yours in abundance. We started with the first Hebrew word, and I'm not real good at pronouncing Hebrew. Man, I'm actually terrible when I'm trying to bring it over into English. So these are close. If someone knows more about it than I do and you can help me out, I would encourage that. But anyway, we started looking at the first word, and the first word was evil. And it's spelled a lot like the English word evil. But the evil fool is a fool that is, they're strong-willed, they're determined. They're a person that's stubborn. And you can't get them to move. And what that kind of a fool does, it eventually leads them into being hard. They're hard about everything. They're harsh in things. And there were the characteristics that stood out for that kind of a fool is that kind of a fool acts without any counsel. They don't want people counseling them. They don't want to be told what to do. Another characteristic of them was they do a lot of talking and little listening. Well, they're going to tell you how it is. They're good at quarreling. That's one of their characteristics. And then we saw a fourth characteristic of them is that they take no correction. You correct that kind of a fool, it makes them angry. So that's the first characteristics of a fool, that one. We saw the second fool in Proverbs, pethe, is the Hebrew word. And as we looked at this, this is a person that's rather simple. And being simple, it means that they're open to everything. They believe a lot of stuff. They believe what's out there. You know, some people, every time there's something that comes across the internet, oh, they believe it's true. You know, something comes across in the news, they believe it's true. What's wrong with this kind of fool, or the characteristics of this kind of a fool, is that they're very impulsive. They act on impulse. Something hits them, they react, you know. And so being quick to react, that's what makes them so open-hearted. Everything bothers them because they're so open. Another characteristic of that kind of fool is in their reactions, or in their decisions, they give little thought to the choices that they make as the intended outcome. They don't think about the consequences of something they get themselves involved in. And then once they're in the middle of it, they're, oh, I wished I wouldn't have done that. Well, it's a little late. If you had some wisdom, you wouldn't get yourself there in the first place. This kind of fool, the pethe, they're irresponsible. You can't depend on them for anything. They're just irresponsible people because they're so simple. They're so open about things. And then if we found a fourth thing, they can't determine situations. They're very poor at determining things. Well, tonight we're going to one that's called Kes-El. And it's going to be a lot like the very first one we do, the Ev-El. Well, this is Kes-El. And so it's going to have a lot of the same root, but it's not the same thing. This word that we're going to look at tonight, it literally means fat. Now, what do you think about when you hear fat? This is a person in their mental, their mindset, their understanding. It's fat. And what fat is, it means that they are dull, they're sluggish, and they are lazy. That's this kind of a fool. And so when you have a person that's dull, they're sluggish, they're fat, and their mental abilities, they're lazy, you know they're going to make some poor choices in their life. And definitely going to be because of a fat and lazy mind. And so we're going to do more reading to them about this one tonight. And you can make your application. I hope you can. If you look at chapter 1 of Proverbs, beginning verse 22, I want you to see what this kesel, this fat of the mind, who he lists them with. Proverbs 1:22. How long, O naive ones, will you love being simple-minded? That's the one we dealt with last week. And scoffers delight themselves in scoffing. That's coming. And fools, there it is. Kesel, hate knowledge. I mean, look at the line that he puts them all with. This kind of fool hates knowledge. They're so lazy in their mind, they don't want to take in anything else. They're very content at being who they are. I mean, how many times do people say, well, I know I ought to be doing this, I know I ought to be doing that, but they don't do anything about it. Why? Because they're a fool. They hate knowledge. They don't want to change. They're very content being lazy, being fat, in their mental abilities. And that's the way they're going to stay. If you look down real quick at verse 32, here's a word that describes them to a T. He said, for the waywardness of the naive will kill them, and the complacency of fools, there's that word, kesel. The complacency of fools will destroy them. They are complacent. They're not going anywhere. They don't want to go anywhere because they hate knowledge. And so you can start seeing the characteristic of this kind of a person. You can't do anything with them. Well, come on over to chapter 3, if you would. Look at chapter 3. Look at verse 35. The wise will inherit honor, but fools, there's that word, kesel, display dishonor. Look at what they display. I mean, when something is displayed, what do you think about? You think in terms of open? They're so lazy, they're so fat in their mind that the things that they do display are dishonorable. They're shameful. You know, you watch, and it's sad to say it, he's after her. Keep going, buddy. We're with you. We got it. Sometimes when we get to the assembly, we had to help him out. Sometimes when you get to the assemblies, you know, we're here to worship God. Have you ever seen some individuals? They're not ashamed of what they display. They're not here to worship God. They're here for other things. And they display it publicly, and it's dishonorable, but they're in such a mindset, it doesn't matter to them. They'll just display it openly. There's no shame in them. They display shame because they're complacent. because they hate knowledge. They don't want to go any further. This kind of fool displays dishonor. You know, Paul, in Colossians chapter 2, verses 18 and 19, he speaks of those within the body of Christ, they're enemies of the cross. And it breaks his heart to have to say it, but one of their characteristics, that's one that's an enemy of the cross, is that they glory in their shame. They don't mind displaying it. They glory in it. Well, that's a fool. And they're not even aware. They're sure not inheriting any honor by what they're doing, which tells you they're not wise. You know, I've done so many weddings over the years, and weddings are always an interesting tidbit for me. You know, you learn a whole lot about people and a lot about families. I was doing a wedding one time, and the bride, she was real nervous, and, you know, and all of a sudden, we were going through a rehearsal, and she stomps her feet in the rehearsal practice, and she turned to her mom, and she just started screaming at her mother to shut up. It's none of your business. And I mean, just outward display. And I'm going, oh my, what do we got here? And her mom mouths off something at her, and the whole thing kind of sets up and shuts up, you know, and everybody's looking around, and I mean, we're displaying dishonor right and left. And then, you know what I thought about? How wise is this fellow for choosing this lady, you know? I mean, you get thinking about that. What about your choices? You can't see that this outward display of dishonor is, you know, you're supposed to honor your mother and father. That's what a true child of God does. But boy, sometimes people display dishonor. They do it in a lot of ways. That's a fool. And I'll tell you, they're not going to make it if they don't change their way and change their being. Well, come on down to chapter 4 while we're here. Well, excuse me, chapter 10. Look down at chapter 10. Look at verse 1. He continues to expand on this idea of this kind of a fool. He says in 10:1, the Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish son is a grief to his mother. There's that word foolish. That's what we're talking about tonight. A son that's fat and lazy in their mind. They hate knowledge. You know, they're complacent. They display dishonor. I mean, how many of us want children that are dishonorable? Well, you know what? If you've got a foolish child, a foolish son, he said, is a grief to his mother. I mean, I have known parents that talk about their children. Actually, they started and they never talked about their children. And then when you get them over in private, they'll start talking about their children, and they're plumb ashamed of some of the things their children have done, because their son or their daughter would display foolishness. And I mean, it shames the mother. It grieves the mother in doing that. When you get back into Genesis 26, verses 34 and 35, you have Isaac and Rebekah. Well, they had a son by the name of Esau. Esau became 40 years old, and Esau ends up marrying into heathen nation women. He marries them. And it said Isaac and Rebekah grieved over the choices of their son Esau. I mean, they grieved. It takes you down. And along that line of thinking, how many marriages, how many people have picked a mate, and the mate has nothing in terms of God? You know, they end up and they take your child and they turn their heart. We've seen that happen over and over. I sure have. And if the mate's not strong, they get taken away too. And boy, it becomes a grief. It becomes a heartache for the mother and father. A wise son makes his father glad. A foolish, it's a grief to his mother because they're lazy. And they're content to stay that way. Well, come down to verse 18 of chapter 10. Excuse me. Verse 18. He who conceals hatred has lying lips, and he who spreads slander is a fool. Slander. Where you openly criticize and you speak evil of someone else. You know what? A person that slanders, a person that criticizes and wants to hurt someone through their criticism, that person is a kesel. They're a fool. They are lazy in their mind. They're fat. Why would you want to slander someone else unless you're trying to take an advantage of a situation or take advantage of someone? I mean, there's nothing good in that. He says in 18, he who conceals hatred has lying lips. You know, you ever see people, they hate somebody, but when they're around them, they act like that everything is hunky-dory. Oh, it's so good to see you. Hey, they've got lying lips. Because they're disguising what's really going on within the heart. And what's really in the heart is hatred. And that hatred, that leads to spread and slander. That's a sign that they're fools. That's that kesel. Well, you do that, you're not going very far. You know, there's a lot of things revealed from people, from what they say and by what they do. Just has to listen for a little bit. He who conceals hatred has lying lips. You know, what should we do? If you're a wise person, should you be a person to be forgiving? Would a wise person do that? Sure they would. If you're a wise person, would you be trying to resolve issues in your heart that you have toward another brother or sister? Sure you should. But a fool can't do that. A fool acts one way, and they talk another. That's his kind. Well, come on over to chapter 13. Look at chapter 13. Look at verse 19. Desire realized is sweet to the soul, but it is an abomination to fools to turn away from evil. Desire realized. We're talking about moral. We're talking about doing what is right. That's the desire that's being discussed here. That whenever you do what's right, you're going to do what's morally correct. Boy, that's sweet to the soul. But he says, but it is an abomination. Now, when you think of an abomination, you know, God says, you know, homosexuality is an abomination. Well, you know what a fool thinks an abomination is? To turn away from evil. I mean, you know, they don't go around saying it. I think it's an abomination to stop evil. They don't say that, but they sure can't turn away from evil because they're dull. Their senses are dulled. You know, what about the person that they can't ever seem to exist in peace? You've been around that family or an individual that all the time they're just stirring up. They're not happy unless they're creating problems. You know what? It's abomination to them to stop that. They feel like life's not being lived unless you can cause trouble for somebody else. That's a fool. That's a fool. But man, when you want to do what's right, when you desire to do what's right, that affects the soul. Look down at verse 20. Next verse. He who walks with wise men will be wise, But the companion of fools will suffer harm. Oh, wise people surround themselves with wise people. And when we're talking about wise here, we're talking about wise in the ways of God. Now, guess what a fool does? A fool companions with a fool, and they end up in harm. I can't tell you, and I don't know, maybe Terrell can remind me of it. He was with me years ago. He was back in high school, and we went to a basketball game one night. I don't know if you remember, there's a bunch of high school kids sitting over here in a section, and all of a sudden they got rowdy, they got shouting some profanities, and got out of hand. They had to call the police over there. And the police took the whole batch of them, and they escorted them all out. There was one kid in there, he kept telling them, "I didn't say anything. I didn't do anything. I wasn't a part of any of that." Then why were you companioning with them? That's what a fool does. You can sit there and try to convince everybody that's not who you are, but that's who you hang around. You're not hanging around wise. You're hanging around fools. How many young people have gotten themselves in trouble because they run around with someone who is a troublemaker, and then all of a sudden one time the troublemaker gets caught and you're in trouble too, and you're trying to explain to your parents or whomever it may be, the police, and trying to say, "I didn't do anything wrong." Then why are you running with them? Are you that lazy? Are you that fat in your mind that you can't see running with people that cause trouble will eventually catch up to you? The companions of fools will suffer harm. Wow, wouldn't it be better to walk wisely? The one who walks with wise men will be wise. Isn't that a lot better than running around with people that are fat in their mind? They're complacent. They don't want to be told what to do. You're not going too far when you run around with people like that. I've known many a young person that over the many years, you know, they've come talk to you and they'll talk about the troubles in their life and the things that they've been caught in or the things that they're going on. They'll talk about that. And then they'll say, "Yeah, but you don't know my friends like I know them." I may not know your friends, but your friends continually act like a fool, and you're calling them your friend. It tells me something about you. You need to be wise and surround yourself with people that are wise so you can become wiser. That is just sound advice. And that's what Proverbs is giving us here. Well, let's move on over. Let's go over to chapter 17. Chapter 17, look at verse 10. Now, here's a great test to measure wisdom. 17:10. "A rebuke goes deeper into one who has understanding than 100 blows into a fool." Boy, there's your kesel again. 100 blows into a fool. You know, have you, maybe in your life, I can think in my life, I remember being corrected over and over and over and over and over, you know, when I was younger. And you know what? I didn't care. Didn't matter to me one bit what anybody said. I was going to remain a fool, and I wasn't about to budge. Well, you know what? You take a fool and you give them 100 blows, you tell them over and over, they're not going to give that thing up. But what does he say here? A rebuke. One rebuke goes deeper into one who has understanding. One rebuke. And you know what a person of wisdom will do? That rebuke will move them away. It will move them away from what they're doing. Not a fool. They're going to stay with it. Oh, they might agree this might be a better way. Oh, I see what you're saying. But they're going to stay with it. You see, they're content at displaying dishonor. That's their contentment. And so no matter how many times you try to correct a fool, they're not going to change. Not until they're ready to change their hearts and their minds in this whole deal. Well, let's keep going. Look down at chapter 18. Look at verse 6. 18:6. A fool's lips bring strife, and his mouth calls for blows. Guess what a fool does? A fool creates strife. That's what their lips bring. Why would anybody want to cause strife? There's only one reason. They're a fool. New Testament says they're fleshly. New Testament says people that create strife, Galatians 5, 19 through 21, he said they're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Well, here, when we're looking at this one, he says, a fool's lip brings strife, and his mouth calls for many blows. I mean, that kind of a fool that creates strife among people, they need their mouth shut. They need to be silenced, because that's not good. Look at verse 7 that goes with this. A fool's mouth is his ruin, and his lips are a snare of his soul. His lips are going to ruin him spiritually. You know, a mouth is his ruin. That's what this kind of fool does also. I mean, here they are. They're complacent. They hate knowledge. You can't tell them anything. You can't correct them. They when they talk, they create problems. They're stirring up stuff all the time. They display dishonor. They're not about to leave the path that they're on. Bottom line, their soul is snared. They're going to lose their soul. Well, come over to 23, verse 9. Chapter 23, verse 9. Here's this fool again. Do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of your words. Oh, if his mouth is going to be a ruin and a snare, guess what? Don't you speak in their presence. Now, you say, but how do I know if someone's a fool? Their characteristics tell you they're a fool. You have to have enough discernment to know who to speak to and who not to speak to. And the one thing about it, you don't speak to this kind of fool because they will despise the words of wisdom. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 7, verse 6. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, and do not cast your pearls before the swine, for they'll trample them under their feet, and they'll turn, and they will tear you to pieces. You know what? You got to have enough discernment and enough judgment about you. There are certain people you don't speak wise things in front of. You need to leave them in their folly. You need to leave them in their foolishness because they don't want to go any further. And when you do speak, they're going to have some snippet, some snide remark about the words of wisdom that you're willing to offer. These are the characteristics of a fool. Now here's where I want to end tonight. Come on over to chapter 26 that was read earlier. Every one of these words, fools, as we go down here, is this word, kesel. It's this word. And I want you to notice in each verse, and all I'm going to do to end tonight, we're going to read them. And in each section, in each verse, I want you to look at the corresponding word of the characteristic of that fool. as we go down through. And then the lesson is yours, and you'll apply it, beginning in verse 3. A whip is for the horse, a bridle for the donkey, and a rod for the back of fools. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you will also be like him. Answer a fool as his folly deserves, that he not be wise in his own eyes. He cuts off his own feet and drinks violence, who sends a message by the hand of a fool. Like the legs which are useless to the lame, so is a proverb in the mouth of fools. Like one who binds a stone in a sling, so is he who gives honor to a fool. Like a thorn which falls into the hand of a drunkard, so is a proverb in the mouth of fools. Like an archer who wounds everyone, so is he who hires a fool or hires those who pass by. Like a dog that returns to its vomit is a fool who repeats his folly. And finally, verse 12. Do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There's more hope for a fool than for him. Well, I tell you what, humility's a better way. Because if there's more hope for a fool than a man who thinks he's wise in his own eyes, whew, teach you there. Brethren, let's look at our hearts. I pray it helps. You think about it. You let me know if I've missed something. Let's help teach one another. But above all, let's not be fools.